hello everyone, and welcome back to Crosswires. Legitimately welcome back. We've been gone for a little bit longer than we planned because, well, there is a legitimate reason, and I'll talk about it after I introduce this week's panel. Now, of course, we are going to be talking about WWDC 25. That happened on Monday. We decided we're going to record on Thursday because every time we've tried to record a panel on the day of the event, a few days later, more and more tidbits come out and we miss stuff. So we thought, no, let's have a pause.
It can also be Timbits, you know, Tim Cook.
Timbits? Oh, that's, no.
Well, they're Tim Hortons little donuts, those are Timbits.
Exactly.
So. Are they? Oh.
they're delicious.
They are so good. Every church in the United States.
What, does Tim Hortons Timbits?
Really? Absolutely.
Okay, so the voices you can hear, Bill, and maybe see if I've actually got the video edited, alongside me are my wonderful co-host, the co-founder of Crosswires, the co-owner of Crosswires, my beautiful, beautiful fiancé, who I just got to see, I just spent time with for a whole month.
Yes.
Jay, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm not doing so great.
Oh, hold on. Whoa. What? You've just been to England. You've had an afternoon tea on a canal boat. What's the problem?
Well, on that trip, we went to the Science Museum, and my first iPhone is in the museum, so I feel so old.
Okay, you feel old. My first computer is in the Science Museum.
Okay,
The computers I used at school.
Not Bridgerton, that one adding machine? Your first computer?
Very careful what you're saying here.
Abacus.
Thanks.
Yeah, the abacus, yes.
Thanks. And that voice you can hear, just like adding insult to injury, is the wonderful, the fully charged. Wait, no, that's not your show. That's not yours. the charged up. No, that's not your show. Alex Lowe from The Interface. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to be doing another Apple podcast with you guys. So, all good.
We need to have you on more. Do you know, I was thinking the other day, obviously, by the way, congratulations on how well your show Charging Status is doing. It's a little surreal because obviously we started back together.
Yep.
And I had to, I mean, I'm glad it got a future because it nearly didn't.
Yeah, I know.
And it was surreal. And obviously, you know, I don't know.
We've taken that weekly now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we've done four episodes back to back the last few weeks. So yeah, it's taken a different sort of format. So yeah, it's all good fun. Yeah. Takes a lot of time, but yeah, good fun.
And you've been driving some new vehicles. And in fact, one of them, I think, is going to be a little bit relevant to some of today's discussion because you've been trying out some new apps. Well, not new, but features that will get improved, hopefully.
Yeah. I think it was this week's all over the place. I think it was yesterday. Yeah, it was. I was driving the new BYD Dolphin Surf, which is a sort of 18,000 pound little EV, which has been on sale in China for a little while. But it's got some interesting features. It's got Apple Car Key support, which is a feature which expensive cars have. And this little tiny hatchback has got, you can unlock it with your watch. So
that's cool.
Amazing. Yeah, it's really cool.
We were kind of disappointed that Travelodge haven't moved into the Apple, I guess, hotel keys, room key feature.
I haven't seen any hotel in the UK which has that feature yet.
We had that at the Hilton.
Yeah.
Well, no, but that wasn't Apple. That was their own app.
It's true. Yeah.
The Marriott hotels also have their own app. No, I don't. I think only one hotel in America or the USA has that one feature.
Oh, wow.
The hotel key, I think it's called. So, yeah, we've got to wait a long time for this sort of stuff. So.
It's a shame. And look, access control is tricky. We're trying to sort it out for the Beat Store because we really want to grade it. And that, folks, is why we've been away so long. So, as you may know, Jay was spent a little bit of time away from a podcast while she was working on mental health. But as a result of that, she took on what was meant to be a co-manager's role at her mum's Beat Store. And then in January, things dramatically changed when... And those of you who watch our live streams will be aware of this. When the other co-manager decided that she didn't want to be a co-manager, she wanted all the power, and quit, leaving Jay with a team and, you know, everything. So Jay very, very quickly then asked me, because Crosswires, as my business, had been providing me IT services to the Beat Store. She said, well, do you want to step that up and do you want to come and be our technical manager? you're still, you know, it's still a Crosswires gig effectively, but I'm now the technical and creative manager for Blooming Bees, etc. And to say that we have had an uphill struggle to save the business and turn it around would be an... Jake, just get, very quickly, because I know people like to know what we're up to, give people the highlights of what we've had to deal with. I mean...
Well, we brought the inventory records down from like 20,000 something to like 19,000. So I got rid of about 1,000 records that were no longer needed.
Yeah.
We revamped the online store. We're working on revamping the website.
We've had a major refurb in actual physical refurb of our event center space.
And working on some of our marketing, like we're getting digital signage added to the store, because that's the thing that as we were going through retail places last month, we noticed a lot of places use digital signage, and it's a good way to help people know what's going on.
And we had to deal with a shoplifter.
Oh, yeah.
That was... Well, actually, I'm going to give a prop. We're not sponsored ever by Unify. Alex's show's got more chance of getting sponsored by Unify than we ever will. Unify Protect made that process so much easier. I was here on a FaceTime call with the store, but reviewing the Protect footage.
And what's cool about that is that that footage is hosted on device, not hosted in the cloud, which is quite amazing. Because I remember when I used to do security stuff at that store, we used Security Spy, and that stuff, you could never really load it outside of the store.
Oh, wow. Oh, and of course, Unify, and sorry, I'm just being very, very gushy. Unify Identity soft phone means I've now got a line in the US that can call me.
That's kind of cool. Our Google Voice workaround is not do that anymore for business calls.
I don't have to use Jay's Google Voice. It's brilliant. Anyway, that wasn't an ad for Unify, but I mean, it's...
I would definitely say it is interesting timing. Marco Arment gets a restaurant on Fire Island and we get a store.
I was going to say, yeah, we're copying each other. We should have a chat with him like about his Unify. Can I say one final Unify thing? Because it is related to Apple very, very closely. So, Unify recently updated their Portal app to include a new room 3D scanner.
With LiDAR, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually haven't had a chance to use that yet, so...
I have.
Oh, nice.
And it is incredible. It's using Apple... The reason it's not on Android yet, I don't think, is because it's actually using Apple's built-in APIs to do the scanning.
Wow.
So Apple built a whole stack of APIs, and literally all you have to do is point it at the top of the wall, point it at the bottom, does everything else. It scans cabinets, beds, the lot.
Wow.
And it is accurate.
Yeah.
So... You
that's
know,
quite cool. Yeah.
Anyway, look, that's not what we're here to talk about. I mean, here to talk about cool APIs, because obviously it's WWDC. I have one question for you both. Does anyone else feel that WWDC's main keynote has become less about the developers and more about the users?
I think if you look at the fact that State of the Union is where they really talk to developers, I think they probably have realized WWDC is a promotional piece where Apple shows its roadmap for the upcoming year, and then they tell all the developers the nitty gritty stuff in State of the Union, which is another keynote that we don't cover because it's more technical than I think a lot of us can
understand. Then I would get my head around. Absolutely.
I watched it a few years ago. I found it really interesting, actually. I think it was in 2020, so during COVID. I found that quite interesting. So I didn't understand some of it, but I did find it interesting. So.
I mean, I need to watch it. Platform State of the Union is it's a very, very important talk, and it is completely free. You can go and get it and watch that. I think all the sessions are free. That's been obviously the biggest change.
Everything's on YouTube now.
Oh, really? Wow.
They've got an Apple developer YouTube account now, and everything's on there. All the sessions are on there. So if you want to know something about, I don't know, what they've changed with Apple Wallet this year, you can go and watch it on YouTube, so it's quite cool.
Okay, I'll have to go check out, because I always like watching the passwords and passkeys stuff, because I follow Ricky Mondello on Mastodon.
So do I. Yeah.
And always fascinating to see what they're up to.
Yep.
You'll appreciate this, Alex. The NHS, you know the NHS login?
Yep.
Passkeys. Yes. Passkey support.
Yes. I think that was about... Might have been a few months ago, I think.
Okay,
but yeah,
I missed. Yeah.
There's everything's slowly getting there. I don't know when passkeys were first announced, but it's taken a while.
But it is very cool. There's been a few. I mean, look, I really love the work we're doing. One of the big things I absolutely adore that we've done recently, and I think this was actually my last iOS version, was that it can now, you know, if you're using something like 1Password or Bitwarden and you put your one-time passwords in there, it can now fill those from that. It used to not be able to do that. It can now actually fill one-time codes from your third-party password manager app.
And one of the, just to add, coming in the future thing, it can fill one-time passwords from like WhatsApp and things like that on the new iOS.
Oh, okay. So it's going to be able to detect them from more. Why would you get one-time passwords through WhatsApp?
Instagram.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. Well done, Meta. Lock us into your. Oh, God. Yeah. Just use Signal, folks. Use Signal. And I would say use Pixel Fed, but not as sure on Pixel Fed right now. But anyway, look. So, look, I think the first thing we need to talk about, by the way, of course, is I am really enjoying these pre-filmed Craig Federighi, like, action sequences.
Yeah. He's like a little celebrity, isn't he?
I just want to know how they got a whole racetrack on top of the Apple One campus.
You do realize that probably wasn't.
Oh, so they didn't actually build that on top of the campus and race around. That was probably CGI.
I don't know, but Jay, think about, like, obviously they've got all the solar up there.
Yeah.
Think about how, no, but it wouldn't. I like the whole HomeKit will change it from a racetrack to to a solar, but obviously that's to promote the F1 film, which does look.
Have you seen, by the way, the new trailer for your phone? And it uses the haptic engine. Is that what it's called? The haptic engine to vibrate. I can't describe it very well, but everything that's going on the screen, like the car's driving past, gear changes, it vibrates the phone, yeah.
Oh, wow. And is that, what, do you have to watch that through a certain...
You have to watch it through the Apple TV app, yeah.
I'll have to try that out.
My phone's my camera, but
the trailer,
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
Because cool. I'm getting Days of Thunder vibes from the F1, what I've seen so far, which is the movie that's launching in theaters, and then it'll come to Apple TV Plus later on.
That's the one. Yeah.
That's it. So, I mean, obviously the first thing is this renumbering of all the OSs.
It doesn't really make much sense because it's 2025 now and it's 2026 next year. But the way that Americans deal with car model year distinctions, you have a car that's out now and it's the 2026 Toyota, whatever it is. So it's actually next year's stuff now, which I guess for them it makes sense. So,
but to be fair, Microsoft have done that for ages with Office versions. Before 365,
yep.
Office 2010 came out in 2009.
Did it? Okay.
And I might be wrong, but I think Windows Server 2025 came out in 2024.
Right. Okay. So it's
it's not uncommon for that to happen.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's very weird. And it's not like they weren't a unified... Oh, wait, they weren't. No, they weren't at a unified number.
Completely messed up, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, because tvOS, I think, was mapped to the iOS versions, but watchOS wasn't, was it?
WatchOS 11, iOS 18, tvOS 18. I think macOS, it used to be macOS 10 point something, then moved to macOS 11.
It's now macOS 15 at the moment.
Oh, is it? Okay, so they did switch to a more standardized release pattern at some point then, and now it's macOS 26. So, and then VisionOS was on VisionOS 2, I think.
So they move that. So it's saying this is the vintage of the operating system.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a 26 vintage iOS. Yeah.
yeah. But it makes sense because I think even people who follow Apple that closely, you'd struggle to keep up with remembering which version is the latest. And for the average person, you might think, oh, why is my watch on 11, but my phone's on 19 or 18, whatever it is?
Well, because, Alex, this one goes to 11. I'm sorry. Yeah. That was terrible. That was bad. But yeah, no, it does make a lot of sense. Yeah. All right. Because what we're not going to do, right? Go and watch the keynote. We're not going to unpack everything that was announced. I think we're going to look at our highlights and things that maybe have come out afterwards. I want to start with iOS, as in the iPhone stuff. And I think that's because that's where they kicked off this new design language. which we're calling Liquid Glass. Welcome back, Windows Vista.
I know.
Wait, I think, is Alex too young to remember Vista?
My first laptop had Windows Vista.
Oh, I am so sorry for you. I'm so sorry.
From what I remember, it's fine. But
I guess the thing is, well, you never used, you wouldn't have had like your own machine running XP. So you wouldn't have seen, but
my parents had XP on a machine previously, but I didn't, like, I don't know how old I was, probably not very old. Like,
okay.
So I didn't really, I don't know.
Because I remember once a friend had got a new laptop with Vista. We plugged his, at the time, USB DSL modem in, blue screen Vista.
Nice.
Yeah. So, all right. It's obviously not Windows Aero. It's a lot more refined. I guess, initial thoughts?
My biggest question is contrast and accessibility, because I am seeing areas, and I'm already hearing it from the developers, and if, please only install the developer beta if you're a developer and have a device that's not your main device.
A lot of chatter on that.
Because otherwise,
it's like a PSA every single year.
Yeah.
Please, seriously, if you are going to install it on your main device, don't. Don't. It's a developer beta.
If you do, don't talk to developers about how their apps are, because they're frantically trying to get their apps working.
Yeah.
And don't even do the public betas, because those are still not for the average consumer. But
No.
I'm already hearing about, like, some people are finding areas where, like, the contrast between the background and the foreground's not there. The floatingness versus having a, I always get this wrong, is opaque where you can't see through?
Yes.
Having an opaque tab bar, for instance, in Safari, would not cover up the content behind it. With Liquid Glass, it's now covering the content. So, like, if you're designing a website, you want to be very careful that your footer doesn't have any information that, at the bottom of the page, that you don't want to see. There's a lot of things that it's covering up because it's Liquid Glass. And there's just I have a lot of questions until I use it on whether it's going to be, because I struggle if there's not a lot of contrast on stuff. And I'm curious. That's probably my biggest question, is what's the accessibility of it?
I think that's a very good question. Alex, your eyesight is better than both of ours, but what's your...
A similar sort of thing, but what I was going to say is that there seems to be a lot of chatter on Twitter at the moment of people being very, very quick to judge. And they're treating this first beta like it's what's going to come out.
It's not.
We've got, it's a long summer until September, so... They've got ages. It happens every year. They've got ages to sort these things out, and there seems to be a lot of what do you call it? Like, I don't know, like, just opinion baiting on Twitter and stuff about that sort of thing at the moment. So,
and I think from developers, it's valid. And so, like, say for example, someone like Gideon Mayhew from the Icon Factory, his opinion as a designer matters.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I mean, for example, let's say I'll take Marques Brownlee. Who, I like Marquez's stuff.
Yep.
But he's not qualified to make those judgments because we're still at developer beta 1 at this point.
Yeah, and then if history repeats itself, there's so many iterations every week, I think. I don't know how often they release these new beta updates. But everything changes. A lot changes in the summer. But yeah, I like the look of it. It looks very cool. History with style does always repeat itself. And I think they've done quite a good job. I've watched a few interviews with Craig Federighi this last few days, talking about the whole design language. It looks quite, I like it. It looks cool. I don't know. I haven't had it on my phone yet, so I don't know.
So, nope, yeah. Fair enough. None of us are going to install it on our phone until it's released, I don't think.
I've done it once. I'm not going to bother doing that again.
No, I can't do it again. It's just too risky. Okay, so Liquid Glass. I mean, I like the design concepts. There's a lot of stuff that I've seen. But, I wonder if you've simplified. Like, someone, I think it was maybe Marco or Casey, posted a screenshot of the Mail app. And it does look, they've buried more controls under menus now. Okay. The new menus do look nice, mm-hmm. But please don't bury quick actions. I mean, for example, iOS Mail makes it quite easy to move mail. it looks like the new versions maybe move that. Now, we're having an ongoing issue with, for Jay's mom, where because Microsoft 365 doesn't make it easy for the iOS mail client to do aliases. So Jay's mom has an email address at one of the businesses and at one at the other, but it's the same 365 tenancy. So we've had to move it to the Outlook app. She hasn't forgiven me for that yet because Outlook is not intuitive and it makes moving mail really difficult. But I'm like, well, I don't know what to do. If anyone knows how to get aliases working, by the way, on iOS mail for Microsoft 365 Exchange, please drop me a note, james@crosswires.net. I will buy you a pint if you can solve that problem for me, genuinely. Okay, design, I think we're going to have to wait and see, but it is very cool that it's going across all. This is maybe the first time where we've had a unified design change across all the platforms at one time.
Yeah, and I think it's the right time to do it when you're unifying all the version numbers. And it started because it started a little bit on the Mac in some of the areas, but it started heavily in Vision OS. And this is, you can see Vision OS is now starting to take root on all the other devices.
That is very true. Mm. Still can't afford a Vision Pro, but
no. I mean, I could if I wasn't flying over to the UK all the time.
Good point.
Yep.
Lemon. There you go. Yep. But you go, that's Jay. Oh, right.
Which is your priority now? It's like Vision Pro or?
I mean, James, I don't need to see you for a couple of years. I'm going to go get a Vision.
Well, okay. All right. Fine. To be fair, is that payback for what? Is that payback for picking Miss up over the weekend?
Yeah. Your Switch 2.
Oh, nice.
That I can't find it in stock anywhere.
Thank you, EE, for doing that as add to plan, by the way.
Oh, wow.
You can do that. It's £20 a month.
I'm hoping to pick one up in September if I can't pick it up beforehand.
Nice.
Anyway, back to iPhone S. So look, message backgrounds that sync to all participants.
Yep.
That's really cool because Jay said to me, we use Signal a lot. She said, oh, do you like the new background? I'm like, sweetie, but backgrounds don't sync on Signal.
Right. I was like, oh, now it will be a way for people to troll. And like, I can see some of the group chats.
Because I think with WhatsApp currently, I think it's per user.
Yes.
Which for my sins, I do use WhatsApp for certain
also do group
chats. But anyway, they've also got like this typing. There's a lot of WhatsApp features which have come over, like polls and typing indicators for group chats. So it seems like they're paying a little bit of catch up in terms of group chat stuff. But yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. I would love it if it was a way to remove yourself from a SMS group chat.
Yeah. Now, I have not seen it confirmed, but I believe we are finally getting encrypted RCS.
That, well, because I've actually seen some RCS messages.
I've had a lot. So I get, because I get like cars delivered to review and stuff, the people that deliver and text me, and it obviously comes back as it's been read. I was like, oh, that's RCS. And I haven't
noticed. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I have noticed.
It's cool. Yeah.
That I've messaged because I wasn't used to seeing their restatements.
No. And a typing indicator as well, which is quite interesting. So,
oh, that? Yeah, actually, I have noticed that typing indicator.
There you go.
You know what? I should really try, Jay, and message you, message your, because in theory, RCS should work internationally.
Yeah.
I should try and RCS should you do. from my work phone, because I've got, this is my work phone. I've got cheapest possible. It's a Galaxy something, obviously.
Yucky.
The only reason I put my SIM card back into this, by the way, the only reason I ever needed it is for Microsoft Authenticator, my physical phone, but I've got that on my iPhone now. And I just did I moved my SIM to eSIM and put this in. But actually, the reason I have this phone is in case my internet goes down. That's the main reason. So right. I now realize that Android does Ethernet tethering.
That's cool.
So that, when I need to, gets plugged into an USB-C to Ethernet adapter. And guess what that gets plugged into?
A Wi-Fi box.
No, Wi-Fi box. Wow. Okay, email Ryan. Riley. Riley? Right. I think Alex might need a new job. yeah, so but I'll say, I love the evolution of messages, I think with RCS support, and if encrypted RCS is coming, that's amazing. I want to know, though, how that's been done, because as far as I was aware, the only end-to-end encrypted RCS was Google stuff, and Google had open-sourced it.
So they had or hadn't?
Hadn't.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware. And now, obviously, I could well be wrong on that now. But yeah.
There's also the phone app. Well, we'll get to the phone app in a minute, but there's like this, they call it a junk drawer, but you got unknown numbers will go to a unknown senders folder.
Oh, yeah.
And you can screen those, which is quite cool. Yeah.
Oh, you can screen a message. Yeah, because you've already got an unknown senders folder.
Yep.
But it's not screening. Let's jump, because I don't think there's much more on messages.
No, not really.
No. So let's talk about phone.
Yeah. I like the phone apps now on every system.
iPad?
Yeah.
Oh, they brought it to iPad.
Mm-hmm.
I missed that.
So currently, like, if you want to make a phone call from your Mac, you either have to highlight the phone number on Safari or use FaceTime in some weird way. And now you just got this phone app, so all your voicemails are on there, which means you can get to everything from your Mac now.
And I like that the recent history shows your voicemail and calls, because I have missed voicemails because I don't always want to go to the voicemail tab, and I'm like...
That, of course, requires your carrier to support visual voicemail, because not all carriers do still in this day and age.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Mine does. EE do, thankfully.
EE support a lot of features.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a website on the Apple website which tells you what features are supported by each carrier, and EE support all of them.
Oh, nice.
Which is quite good. Yeah.
I like that. Look, I'm a big fan of EE for mobile. Honestly, I'm a big, big fan. You know, I'm not with EE for broadband, and that's only because, realistically, because they are BT, we've had this discussion, BT decide, you don't need synchronous speeds on your full fiber.
Yeah.
We'll give you, whereas my tube connection is 900 down, 900 up, which Jeff definitely enjoyed while she was here, you know.
There you go.
The other thing, I think for me, the biggest thing, a couple of things, the number of times I am on hold. I was on hold for DWP today. Basically, they paid me money I shouldn't have got. And being the honest person I am, I'm like, hey, shouldn't be getting that money. You know, what have you done wrong? I did say to her, I was getting so frustrated with a girl on my phone because she wasn't understanding. I said, look, you sent me money in error. It's now going to take me time to refund that. And I don't want to be accountable for your mistake. I said, there is a processing fee for the money coming back. So I was getting frustrated. I said, it is 50% of the amount you've sent me. I was really getting snarky. I wasn't rude to her, but I was getting annoyed. So I can be really snarky when I'm annoyed. Jay will tell you. Anyway, but the on-hold assistant is genius.
Yeah. So it mutes the music. But then if the person comes back on the phone, the agent you're speaking to, it'll ring the phone again. That's what they said, so that's quite cool.
And it tells the agent, hey, the person's coming back, so that way the agent's not just like, hello, hello.
Hello, which is really good.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it actually ends the physical phone call. It just effectively obfuscates it. Is that the right word? Hides it.
Yeah.
Hides it on the phone from your point of view.
Which is nice. That. Yeah. And that, the other thing was, I'm guessing it's using some sort of Apple intelligence features, but it if you got a phone call, it will wait to hear if someone introduces themselves properly, and then it will let the phone ring. But it will display the text on the screen first.
Yes, so the screening.
Yeah,
the screening feature. Honestly, the number of times I could use that, because using my work sim is another reason I've taken it out of my iPhone, because somehow this SIM card, the number in here, has got subscribed to a bunch of like solar panel listings and stuff. I'm like,
right.
Stop. And it's like, hello, is that Martin? I'm like, no, this isn't Martin. Please stop calling. It's like, no. That is like, but screening, because there's paid services to do that for you, isn't there, Jay? There's paid screening services.
Android's done it for a while, and like Google Voice has done it. So this is Apple bringing their on-device intelligence to it. And there's a lot of like small intelligence features, like it can now do translation. And a lot of those are using, if I understand right, they're iPhone 15 and above for a lot of these features. But
that would make sense.
You can now live translate phone calls, FaceTime, and messages.
Yeah. The messages thing is really clever because it will send it back in their native language. It will then do, I think, for FaceTime calls and voice calls, it will do a text-to-speech version of what they've said in your language.
Which is really cool because years ago, I was actually in Mexico, and I don't know much Spanish. I probably should do more Duolingo. But when I was there, I had Google Translate downloaded to my phone, and I was texting back and forth, and the first I was talking to had Google Translate. So we were talking to each other and having a really good conversation just using translation apps, which it's cool that they're trying to help bridge the gap on language.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I think the big thing that you highlighted is it's using the on-device intelligence.
Yep.
And obviously that's the big message from Apple. People say, oh, Apple are really slow to get AI features. And, you know, notice Siri was only mentioned, I think, twice in my whole keynote.
Someone said twice. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And Apple has said that we will hear more about what's coming to Siri and Apple Intelligence later on, because it is definitely, I think it's safe to say all of the promised things from last year's WWDC have not shown up. And we don't know what's still going to come. I mean, there's a lot of features that looked really cool, and I still think look really cool, but Apple made a quick thing saying you'll hear more about what we're doing at Apple Intelligence later this year.
Mm-hmm. I do like the visual intelligence for stuff on your screen and for photos, because that's going to be great for menus, for example, or signs and things like that. So that's going to be really helpful.
Yeah.
Again, I like the fact, I mean, speaking of Apple Intelligence quickly, look, the fact that they've opened up the APIs to the on-device, I actually thought it was private. I thought they did open it up to the private compute cloud as well.
It's only local for now.
It's only local?
What I've been hearing is speculated is they'll open up the private cloud compute to developers using a subscription later on.
Yes, because of course they don't want to be paying for every little app's
exactly
use of their cloud now, hardware.
One of the apps that is coming to other areas is Journal, but Day One's already announced one of the things they're going to do is they're going to use the on-device models to look at what you've written in the past and actually change their prompts to say, hey, how was pizza night, for instance?
That's cool.
So developers are going to be able to use AI without giving your data to another outside source. The ethics of where did Apple source their models is still up to debate, but you're not training a bigger system with your data. You're only training it on device, and which I think, again, it's huge giving people a model, because a lot of developers have been doing some great things with AI models anyway, but now they don't have to pay the fees to other sources. And again, privacy controlled. So that way you don't have to give your device or your data to a third party.
Yeah. What was the thing that they announced? And this is me forgetting. There was one that was optional to go out to ChatGPT as well. And I'm trying to remember
things
what
that like, was. For instance, Genmoji and Image Playground now go to ChatGPT, but it tells you. And if I remember right, anything that Apple sends to ChatGPT does not get saved in their cloud. So it's just like a lot of things like DuckDuckGo's Duck AI. You can use it without giving out all of your data. But yeah, there's a lot more ChatGPT integration that I've noticed, but Apple tells you, hey, it's going to a third party.
And I think that transparency is important. I've got to ask you both, and Alex, I'm going to start with you. Have you used Genmoji or Image Playgrounds much?
I used it once when it came out. That's it.
I've definitely used it, especially since getting an iPhone 16 Pro. Because I had a 13 that did not have Genmoji, so I didn't use it a lot. But I've been using it a lot more, and it does. It now that I've seen how to use it in other apps, like in Signal, I can do it. So I'm starting to use it more. But I do like that you'll be able to give it more prompts, because I found some of the prompts limited, and it can go out. You can give it a emoji that you want it to base it off of, for it to use as a foundation, because that's one of the things. Sometimes I have an emoji idea, but I couldn't tell it, hey, use this emoji for your foundation.
Interesting. The other thing I've noticed is you can't, for example, I can't say generate a picture of Jay with a pride flag behind her, because I think it deems that, and it's a tricky one, because I can see why they wouldn't do it, because think about the hate images that could be created if.
Yeah. So just like when we had Professor Catherine Flick on, a lot of those more controversial subjects are just treated as a siloed off section on a lot of these AI models.
That is very true. Actually, there's one thing I'm not so excited about. Camera redesign. Not sure how I feel about hiding the controls by default.
Tom's Guide did an interview with Craig and Joz yesterday. Yeah. And I know it's all marketing fluff, but they said that they've got real professional photographers on their camera team. What they said is that the whole way that the camera is now, all the little icons and stuff, is actually more confusing than what it will be. Does that make sense?
Said interesting.
There's way too much going on, which I do agree with, on the current app.
Okay.
And he said,
maybe.
There was one little cool thing. He said, you know where it says just photo and video now? He said, when you open the camera app, there's a brief few seconds of where it shows the extra items in that list, and then they disappear to sort of show you, oh, look, you can press this and it will open. So,
gotcha. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Go on, Jay.
Fun little timbit. If you hold down the photo button, that is actually called Quick Take. I found that from the Computer Clan's video on the Quick Take, that Apple actually used the name.
The quick take. Wow.
I've definitely had the experience where like family members are like, why am I stuck in these styles, or why am I stuck on portrait or pano? And they just want to have photos. So there is definitely a thing where a lot of the extra functionality are more for the power users, and maybe for the average user, they just want photo or video, and that's all they want.
That is true. Yeah, that is a good point. Because, even for me, I've found myself stuck in like time lapse by accident trying to do a video. I'm like, that's not worked.
Yes.
There's one more thing I wanted to ask Jay about. There's this digital ID feature.
Oh.
So they said that's not a replacement for your passport in the US, but you should be able to use that to travel. They call it domestically. I guess that's just internally, but.
Because a lot of our, I actually did it when I was traveling. My state has a ID system that's accepted by this. So I've actually used it sometimes when I'm traveling. Not all of the TSA areas accept it, but I could see if someone doesn't have a state license, but they have a passport, they could now upload this and use that domestically. It's still a shame that I can't use it when I'm flying internationally, because it would be nice just to not have to worry about the passport, because the amount of times you have to pull the passport out.
I didn't realize someone might not have a state ID. Okay, that makes sense. Well, this exists then. Yeah.
I mean, think about myself, right? A state ID for me, and Jay might correct me if I'm wrong, but my state ID would be a driver's license.
Yeah, because
I can't have a driver's license.
No. You can get a state ID, but it's a lot less common, and a passport's a lot more common, especially, and think about the fact that if you're an immigrant and you might only have your passport, this can help you travel.
However, will it only work with US passport?
Maybe initially while they're working on the system, but maybe this will hopefully be expanded further.
There's a few things I want Apple Wallet to do. Sorry, I'm ranting now.
That's cool.
Obviously, Alex, I know you'd like your driver's license in there.
Yeah, there was someone working on this at the DVLA like 10 years ago, and nothing happened. The project sort of ended.
Alex, it's for DVLA. What do you expect?
I know.
It's really cool when, like I said, when I go to the TSA agent and I have my ID on my phone, I just go up to it, I tap it on the reader, and I say, here's the data I'm giving over. It's very nice, because then you don't have
about the future.
A million different IDs.
But the other thing I want to see, obviously that'd be great. Now, passport for me. What?
I just realized another reason why they're doing it.
Yeah.
a lot of states are slow to bring in their own state IDs. So this way they can give more U.S. citizens the ability to travel domestically. So it's, again, still not a replacement for international, which I don't get. There's some reason why, but this is probably a Band-Aid in between for the states that won't let you upload your ID.
Well, I know why it's not, it won't work for international, because it's
the
obviously
tailored. End, got to,
it's tailored for the TSA systems, and you know, like, we can't even get a proper system set up for travelers to go into Europe from Dover. They're having to build huge buildings for passengers to deboard from buses, etc., to go and be manually fingerprinted to go across the channel.
The other thing that might be quite useful is this digital ID system can be used within apps. I don't know what situation that would be used in. I've got a rough idea, but I don't really know. But yeah, that's quite cool. Well,
one of the things that I would love to see, back when I worked at my last job, I did ID sales. So like, I had to verify people's IDs, and it would have been so cool to have someone be able to verify their ID with me digitally without having to pull out their ID all the time. So it is definitely, I'm glad to see more movement happening with it. And I believe you can do it on websites. I believe. I'm trying to remember if I...
Well, I can see an app use for it. Let's say that you've got the Booze Busters app, which isn't an app, but it's...
Okay.
I make it so. Booze Busters was a brand of off licenses here in the UK.
Right.
But let's say you've got let's say that you are the maker of Marco Arment specialty cocktail supplies, right? Sorry, Marco. You are making an app that sells your alcoholic cocktails, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But how do you verify that a person that is buying your alcohol is, obviously in the US's case, over 21? Well, you could do it through that.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite cool. One little thing I noticed with Apple Wallet is the boarding passes for airports are becoming a bit more dynamic. So there's like live activities, and if for some reason something changes, like the gate changes, it should update by itself on the boarding pass and tell you about it. So there's that as well. So
did you use Flighty for that, don't you?
I use Flighty, but like Delta, app, I use for airlines, is going to be one of the first ones. So I will probably, depending on if I get my phone, when they release,
At least in December, you'll be able to try it. Yeah.
I might update my iPhone when I'm out there in September.
All the tracking in Apple Wallet, like that now can pick up stuff from email. That's really cool.
And that is a start of the Apple Intelligence checking all of your data on device. So we're starting to see some of those things slowly trickle out. It's not the quite the floodgate that they promised us last year.
So the one thing I would love to see, and Apple do travel passes, but I would like to see a way to, the thing's got an NFC reader, right? Why can it not take my government issued bus pass, scan it, authenticate it, and turn it into an Apple Wallet bus pass? Why is that not a thing?
I think authentication, just that they want to make sure that it's you and that somebody doesn't just walk by your card and pick up your bus pass.
That's a point. Yeah, just copy and paste it then, like from just real life to digital life. It's like,
that is true, but I would like to see more integration with like that stuff. I mean, me and Jay were using a lot of train tickets.
Oh, yeah.
It does work well. The only fun bit about that, you have to be very careful. So, because obviously I'd buy all of our tickets. You have to make sure that you remember which ticket you've sent to the other person.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise you end up trying to scan the same ticket through the barriers, and that does not work.
No.
What? On that subject, Express Transit is still one of the best things we've ever put onto the watch, because obviously the tube, just brilliant.
It's ideal, isn't it? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I think, anything else on my iPhone before we...
You can now set a custom snooze duration. So if you have...
Oh, yes.
And they've made the buttons massive as well. So you're not going to... Good. You can't miss them.
Not that I ever That's would good. Use that.
I use it every morning. I'm sorry.
Because we are no longer set in the night snooze.
Yes, between 1 and 15 minutes.
That's good.
I need to read up on more on this, but alarm clock applications can now use a thing called alarm kits, so that they are much more system level. So if you like using a third party alarm app, it should work much better after the developer accepts alarm kit.
That's cool. That is really good. Oh, I do like the, some people don't, but I kind of like how the lock screen will scale the clock and stuff. And it's a nice enough feature. Hmm. All right. I want to talk about the iPad because that is possibly the biggest update that they've done, I think.
Oh, yeah. And like, this is fundamentally making the iPad now a computer. And it's giving us window management, slide over and split view are finally gone. And you instead now get windows, you get a mini bar, you get a dock inside your applications, which that's mind blowing.
That's really cool. But the biggest thing about this is what devices it supports. Because for those of you, Stage Manager required an M series iPad. This new feature does not. My iPad Air 4th gen will be able to run 4 Windows at a time. As you get more powerful and obviously get into more, you can run more. But I can use the new multitasking stuff.
Well, I think also, I'm 90% sure on this, a Stage Manager supports every iPad that runs iPad OS 26 now as well.
Oh, so Stage Manager is still going to be there as well, is it?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, interesting.
But I read somewhere that they flushed out support for it to every iPad that runs it. Relatively sure on that.
Because I saw an interview with Craig Federighi, a thing saying basically, yeah, we re-architected everything so that it would, you know, work well.
He's very basically. Good in interviews, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. Okay, we have to address this. They snubbed Gruber.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I still think it was cool that you and I got to meet Tim Cook and all that. We got to meet him in December, but that does not mean that we agree with all of Tim Cook's actions. No.
I guess, actually, the podcast don't know about that, do we?
Oh, yeah. Back in December.
The podcast don't know. Okay, yeah, tell the story.
We were down at Covent Garden Apple Store, and nice. We went to a Jamie Collum event. All of a sudden, we see this person get up out of they were saving a seat for somebody, and you could tell that the person that was saving the seat was like a personal assistant.
Okay, yeah.
Then all of a sudden, you see Tim Cook walk out, and I thought I had seen Tim Cook earlier in the day, and I said to James, I think I saw Tim Cook, but we're like, no, I couldn't be. But there was a lot of security there, and then all of a sudden, when Tim Cook walks out, everybody like you hear this whole room be like, that's Tim Cook, and we're all trying to get photos of Tim Cook. So at the end of the event, we wait around and we start walking over toward where Tim is. And I don't know how, but we got ushered into a line that was heading toward Tim for photos. And James and I have a photo with Tim Cook. One of the Apple Store people took a photo of us. And again, it doesn't mean that I endorse all of what Tim's done. Like, I don't endorse him donating $1 million to Trump's administration, all this stuff. But it's still cool to meet Tim Cook in person.
He was a genuinely nice guy. Yeah. He cared. I made a joke to Jay, but I've had a better interaction with the CEO of Apple than I ever have with the CEO of the company I work for.
We might have seen at a bar.
We think we might have seen him in a pub, and we're not sure. Yeah, it's a good job we weren't talking about anything, wasn't it?
No, I mean, and he wouldn't have recognized you because your CEO of your company doesn't recognize anybody.
Well, exactly. No, he didn't even come and say hello when we're actually in the same office. So
yeah,
thanks. But on that subject, look, Apple are not perfect. I just want to address this. Tim Cook personally donating to Trump's inauguration fund. Not great. A friend of mine made a really good point, right? Bear in mind that Trump's been and I'm sorry, we are so anti-Trump. Me and Jay, I'm obviously not going to speak for Alex, but crosswise we don't like Musk. Doing that, I mean, Apple's whole thing of the App Store commission, the 30% commission, and the way that they have lied and hidden things in court. It's not good. But, and I don't agree with it. The only, my rebuttal to a lot of this is, it's great that we are taking Apple to task on this stuff. Why are we not taking Google to task? And why are we not taking Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony to task? Okay? Now, look, I mean, we do, so the bead store, right? If we are selling people's products for them, we do, I think our rate, I think ours is 80-20, isn't it? 80
yeah, it is, yeah.
Customer? But a seller, rather. But, you know, because guess what? There are costs. Now, Apple as a much bigger business than we, obviously they can afford less. I think there's a lot Apple should do. Should third-party marketplaces be allowed? Yes. Do they just need to be vetted? I think the biggest concern I have is iOS's security, to an extent, is because, and the usability and the supportability, is because it's a very consistent platform. So that means I can say to my mum, Jay's mum, for example, who I obviously do tech support for, oh, if you tap here, you'll find this. Whereas, do that, let's say I've got this Android phone, my sister's got another, my nephew's got another. They're the same brand of phone, but guess what? UI is completely different. Settings are in different places because they're different versions of a phone. That's my concern. I don't want that compromised, you know?
I think that the alternative app store should be opened up to more than just the EU. I mean, I think it should be opened up to every country, because yeah, then you have the app store, just like on Android, you have the Google Play Store for the officially Google sanctioned apps, and then everything else, even though the Google Play Store has even worse malware than the App Store.
What's your take, Alex? Because obviously you're an iOS guy like we are.
The company's got costs. And I guess the third party app, is this like third party app store stuff, isn't it? So
yeah. And developer relations and things. Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah, I think they could do a bit more. But it's a tricky one, because no one knows what goes on internally in any of these companies. So I don't know.
I see what you're asking. Yeah. Honestly, that's my mindset with it all as well. Yeah. Is, but again, we're not targeting, you know, you can't publish something to the Switch without Nintendo's blessing, for example. And that's been true for... Go on.
I can see that. It goes back to why Lightning existed, I think. So there's this element of, this is going to sound, I don't know, but there's this element of you give everyone a certain tool, like, I don't know, how do I put this? I think the fear with you not putting USB-C on the iPhone, for example, was that someone could use a really dodgy charger, it catch fire, and somehow it's Apple's fault. That's where I'm trying to go. Like, if there's some sort of dodgy app, I don't know, that did something, because you know the media will run away with stuff like that. But I don't know how far you push that. I don't know how far you go and say we need control over everything of what goes on there. So I see why Nintendo are doing that. Like, they want to make sure there's no weird app that's like using so much battery that someone says, oh, this Switch doesn't last very long now. That's a very rough example, but...
No, it's a good example. Yeah. It's fine. And I think the difference, maybe, obviously on iOS, is you're still restricted by the iOS security policies. But
yes,
I will say this, though, Nintendo, you could have made one thing on the Switch 2, because I've got a Switch 2 now, folks. Please, 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 why do you lock down HDMI input so much? I can't just plug a USB-C to HDMI adapter into my Switch 2 and have it go across to a screen. So at the moment, there are no third-party Switch 2 docks, which means I've got to carry the chonking thing if I want to play it on my parents' TV.
So that has no logic behind it.
No, it really doesn't.
No. But if it's something... I can see why. If it's something charging it, maybe.
Oh, I suppose, you know, I have realised there might be a reason.
Yeah.
The new Switch 2 dock does have a fan.
Right, okay.
Which a third part... Maybe that's why. Because, obviously, that thing can now do 4K at 60 which right, is, okay. I mean, it's, wow. I haven't tried it 4K yet, but 1080p, 112. Yeah, anyway, back to Apple stuff.
We're still on iPad, I think, aren't we?
I think we are still on iPad. And look, the whole interface on iPad, be able to do proper windowing. You know, they were asked why it took so long. We said, well, there's a, you've got to get the lag. You got to, because when it's a direct manipulation operating system or interface,
I saw the same.
You've got to get the lag right. Whereas, because when you're using a mouse, you're already not directly, so you already sort of expect a little bit of a a lag.
Which interview did you watch with him? Because it sounds like you watched the same one.
Well, I haven't watched the interview, but there's loads of clips being posted. I want to watch the Tom's Guide one, but like 9to5 Mac are posting snippets and things like that.
Because that was a really, really good interview, actually.
Okay, so, I want to watch that because, you know, it's good. I guess in a way, interesting theory. They might not have intentionally stumped Gruber, but said, hang on, we should probably spread these guys off to other...
Yeah, because it takes up a lot of time. They probably want to get more coverage. They've done it like 6 years in a row, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and one of the things about the new mouse pointer on iPad is it's no longer a circle, but it's
an actual pointer.
And because in the past, you were expecting iPad manipulation to be kind of a finger or a tip of an Apple Pencil, and now it accepts much finer control.
Well, it used to have auto aim, basically. So it would magnetically gravitate toward touch points. And now it's just like a Mac OS pointer. So, yeah.
That makes sense. Because, of course, the mouse support started off as an accessibility feature.
Yeah.
That's how it started.
Yeah. So you've got the traffic light system from Mac OS has been brought over. They made a big point in the keynote of not mentioning Mac at all during the iPad section. But in the interviews, they did. They still acknowledge the fact that I think they said the design process was like, why try and re-engineer the wheel for all the multitasking? Just we've got the Macs, we've got the menu bar, so you've got file edit view and all that sort of stuff.
Previews coming to, I believe, iPhone and iPad.
PDF editing. Now that is huge because PDF editing. Okay, there is you can do a little bit on the iPad, like through just like files, but it's not as good, right?
Yeah, it's hideous.
It's hideous. And the files app got a big upgrade as well, didn't it? That got like, you can do colored folders and all sorts of stuff.
Modify the open end so that way you can modify what applications open which files.
Yep.
That's really good. There is a lot more on my iPad. Sorry, I've completely forgotten something. It's actually quite a big deal for us as content creators.
Oh, yes.
Finally, you can change your audio input source independently from the output, and it's going to be on the web everywhere, right? So you're going to be able to use something like the Rode Wireless Micros, which we have, which... are fantastic. Obviously, could use a Rodecaster. Alex's Blue Yeti you could use, but still be connected through your separate headphones, for example. Brilliant. But, it's not going to kill Riverside, because Riverside has a very different purpose. But the ability to do, not only in FaceTime, but also they're opening this up to other developers, to do local recordings. And then, once everyone's finished, it can all be shared to an iCloud folder, so you get high quality. So you can literally podcast off a remote podcast now off an
iCloud. In any application. So like you can do it in Zoom, you can do it in any type of app. You can even do it in a Teams call.
Yeah, exactly. Go on, Alex.
My first thought when I saw that was like, do both people have to have the same... That's a bit of a lingering question. Do you have to both have an iPad running the same version of software to be able to use it, or does... I don't know.
Yeah, I think you would. because obviously it's not going to start live a local recording on Merseyside. Like,
no.
So for those of you who are, so we use Riverside for all our, and actually Alex does as well now. Yep. We're all Squadcast converts. I miss Squadcast from a point of view of, I miss that relationship we have with them. But Riverside, it is just, I'm sorry, there's no comparison.
That's great. But yeah.
But what that does is, obviously, in this case, in a browser, it's recording both the cloud version, mm-hmm. so what you lot are seeing live now, which is and then it's also recording locally on each of our browsers, and it's progressively uploading. So actually, for both of you two, you'll see at the top it says 13% uploading, because it's also taking a local recording. I mean, in this case, for Riverside, it's streaming it out to Twitch, YouTube, and Riverside. This tool won't be able to do that, and it won't be able to start someone else's local recording, and it won't record the cloud. Although the tools themselves could probably still record, so yeah. But it is it's a no fuss solution, and I like it. Wasn't there some video stuff as well? They did something with
background tasks. You now have a background task API.
Yeah,
that's it. So, for example, Final Cut can render a video while you're checking your email.
And it's not just Final Cut; it could be any type of app. It can register a task, a background task. That way, it doesn't automatically force close when you're done.
Okay, perfect example. Ferrite would be able to do the audio export of this podcast in the background. I really hope I've forgotten his name. That's really bad. From Woogie Juice, who we actually had on the show. That's terrible. Jay, can you find out the... I should know his name. And that is, oh God, completely off the top of my head.
Example they gave was Final Cut Pro on the iPad. So yeah. That was quite a good example.
I have to admit, it's one reason I would love to upgrade to a new M series iPad is to get Final Cut Pro. But,
yeah.
All right.
I think that's it for iPad.
Yeah, that's it for iPad. I want to quickly talk, though, about... So VisionOS...
Canis from Woogie Juice.
Canis. That's it, Canis from Woogie Juice. Great, great guy. We'll put a link to it in the show notes, because great story about how he created the app. So I don't want to... We're not going to review everything, but I wanted to talk about some of the interesting things for me. Did anyone notice, by the way, no HomePod software, no HomePod features?
There was no HomeKit features at all.
Oh, there's nothing. Good point. Yeah.
So I watched... Eric Wielander did a video earlier. I watched it, and it was like, there's nothing new at all for HomeKit this year. So
I will say HomeKit far excels above. So my parents have got a Akara G4 doorbell. My sister's now got an Akara G4 doorbell, thanks to Jay. But she is Android, so she has to use the Akara app. She doesn't want to use Google Home. The Akara app doesn't have motion detection zones. It doesn't have any of the real good local detection stuff.
Right.
So Home's still far better.
There are small things like Apple's adding an energy kit framework to help users, especially residential users, see the use of their devices to try to go to like cleaner energy. So there are small iterations, but nothing...
Not big features.
Yeah. Nothing huge. It's really a iterative update year for like a lot of these applications. It's
true.
Bringing a combined
That's
interface.
True. Like Mail didn't get any new features this year. It's going to obviously get a bit of a redone. Didn't get any new features. But I wanted to talk quickly about a few things at CarPlay.
Right. Because,
so now, Alex, I've used CarPlay because my dad's car has CarPlay.
Nice. Yeah.
But you've used it more given your role.
Yeah.
So what's your take on the new CarPlay? And there's one that got sort of announced, well, not announced, but we found out about today, which I think is very interesting. I'm glad that they've added the caveat to it. So I'm going to let you...
Yeah, so there's a few things. The first one, which I think you're on about, is the watching videos on CarPlay. So this was came out as part of the developer documentation that there's going to be an API to allow people to watch videos through apps on CarPlay that support that kind of API. So I guess you can make YouTube do that. And that will only work while the car's not moving, which is good. You can imagine if you're charging an EV or something, that 15, 20 minutes that you're going to be spent there, you can watch something. Because a lot of cars now have those sort of apps built in anyway, but a lot of cars don't. So a lot of cars don't. So it's good to have that natively on your phone. It means you'd have to log in all the time. So that's quite cool. One of the things they're doing is they're adding tap back support in messages. So if you get a message while you're driving or something, all you can do is dictate something. If you just want to do like a thumbs up or something, you can do that now. I'm not really sure about this one. Live activities as well. And they gave they gave the example of Flighty. So I don't know if you need... I don't know if you need that while you're driving. I don't know.
Okay, well, but, yeah. I'll give a potential. So I'm going to use Jay's sister as an example. I don't think her car's got CarPlay. I don't know.
It does.
Oh, it does. Okay, so Jay's sister is on the way to pick up Jay from the airport, but the flight is delayed as she's driving.
Yeah, fair enough.
Or it changes terminal.
Yeah.
You know, so actually that could be...
Yeah, I didn't think of that. That's fair. And the last one isn't really WWDC related, but it happened a few weeks ago, is that CarPlay Ultra, or the next-gen CarPlay, finally came out, and it's on Aston Martin's only. And they did a cool video with the Top Gear YouTube channel, actually. They had the designer, Aston Martin, interviewed him. They're saying they work very, very closely with Apple on the design of everything, and it's coming to a lot more vehicles in the future. But it's very cool how they've done it. So I'd recommend anyone go and watch that video, because they talk about how the native UI from the car gets pulled forward into the CarPlay's interface if it doesn't support it. And it's all quite clever. And some car screens are a bit ugly, so it's nice to have that sort of thing.
I like the idea of being able to put like the temperature controls. They showed obviously that, yep, that's for next gen for CarPlay Ultra.
Yep.
They did definitely, obviously I like that we're driving around Apple Park in a Mustang. Well, yeah. Was it a Mustang or was it Aston?
It was a Mustang and an Aston Martin DBX.
That's right. Oh, yeah. DBX. Gorgeous car.
Yep.
Gorgeous car.
Yep.
What I was going to say, then of course Craig's in his little golf buggy feet. Oh, that was...
Yeah. Very good.
All right. CarPlay as a whole, I've used it. I say I've used it. I've helped my dad use it. It's great. It really is great. But integration, I hope it comes to more. I you know, be able to watch videos. I think, if I understand it right, it's going to be AirPlay for CarPlay. So I think you might also be able to, if you're a passenger, you might be able to AirPlay to the CarPlay display.
I don't know. The way I understand it, it's there's currently apps that support CarPlay at the moment. They've got their own custom UI for it. The way that it's been worded makes it sound like, let's take YouTube, for example, would make a YouTube version of their app for CarPlay,
right,
which will work in there, which would be quite nice. So, yeah.
It's going to have to be hardware supported, obviously, on the device. But, well, that's what... So the clip I read was, it's going to require hardware support for the AirPlay functionality. So it might be both, because that's a good stopgap until an app...
The AirPlay idea is... I don't know, because... Well, the way CarPlay works, it connects over Wi-Fi currently, but typically those sort of vehicles can only do...
Hold on.
This is early today. This is Mac rumors, yeah.
I'm looking at 95 Mac. Okay, so it says, from iPhone, right on the car when we aren't driving. AirPlay, video in the car for apps. So I think it... I'm just reading the notes here, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. It won't be the passengers, because... It's still usable. Yeah, that makes sense. It just uses the built-in Wi-Fi connection to stream that video over, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. Which is still good, because it means you don't then have to wait for the developers to support it.
Yep.
So that's actually a really good thing. All right.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. Okay, WatchOS. I like how the simplifying the workouts, because Jay found, I had to show Jay, if you tap the workout a certain way, it'll start one instantly. But if you tap it another way, it'll make you do other custom options. So it depends which way. But it looks like we've made it easier to start workouts now.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So
okay.
And they've added an AI workout buddy that can encourage you while you're going, and also start music and podcasts. Unfortunately, it's podcast app, not
Overcast. Yeah, though. Yeah.
But they're adding it. That will look at your past workouts and your fitness history and say, hey, this is your seventh time running up this hill and all that. You're doing a great job. And I just realized I did a Stranger Things reference. But
yes, you did. Yeah, I mean, okay. I am skeptical because I can see it me. Come on, you fat pig. Get up that hill. Come on. Move it. I think it might be helpful. I think there's a lot of jokes. I don't want an AI telling me that I need to get off my couch. Like, I know I need to do that. I think it will only happen when you're trying to do a workout.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Oh, the flick to, you can flick away a notification. Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's so it's going to be like that, like that.
Yep.
All right, let's talk macOS because...
Oh, yeah.
I think macOS, now, obviously, it's going to be called
Tahoe?
Tahoe, yeah. Why am I thinking of beads? There's a it's Toho beads.
Yeah, Toho beads.
It's not Tahoe. Okay, that's fine. Goodness, I was thinking, oh, no, please don't. So this is Toho. Love, of course, a crack marketed team is still there. In my
10 years on, yeah.
10 years on, yeah. I hope that van's been upgraded to an EV at this point. I really do.
Yeah, a little ID Buzz or something.
ID Buzz. My friend's just got one of those, by the way.
Really?
We got to see it.
Nice.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's really nice. It's obviously a new design language. I think there's a few apps that, well, there's one app that me and Jay might be switching away from.
Oh, yeah. So right now we use Alfred, and a lot of people use Alfred, Raycast, or LaunchBar, and what they've brought in with the new Spotlight. Oh, there's a lot of reasons why I might want to move away from Alfred, because like developers can do app intents and they can add things to it. You can do shortcuts directly from Spotlight, and they've opened up a lot of like, they've also opened up a lot of where they can use the models and shortcut as well. So it's kind of a shortcut and Spotlight have both gotten a huge improvement, and they brought clipboard history.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Because even Windows 10, unless your stupid IT department disable it, which mine have. They claimed it's for security, right? I'm sorry. How is that a security issue? So clipboard history, obviously we would use Alfred. That's now coming natively. Now, I'm going to be curious whether or not that clipboard history goes across to other platforms, because obviously... If you're using content universal clipboard, what does that mean? Is it the last thing?
Oh yeah, probably going to get all of your universal clipboard history,
which is fine, which is good. That's what you want it to do in a sense. But it's where it's great is okay. Give you a really good example where clipboard history is really invaluable. Obviously, I do a lot of design work both for Crosswires for clients and obviously for a bead store. Well, I've got a brand palette, right? And frequently, when I'm working on design. Maybe not in Affinity Designer because I've got my palette, but let's say I'm working MailChimp. I'm designing a thing in MailChimp or something new, and I need to copy, or I'm doing our captive portal for our Wi-Fi, and I need to copy the color codes. Well, I don't want to have to keep going back and copy them. So I'll copy them once. They'll be in my clipboard history. And then I can get to them. So now the only thing, well, I say the only thing because Alfred's got a lot of very powerful features. I'm not at all dismissive. Oh, there's going to be system actions you can do inside of Spotlight now as well. But one of the big reasons I still use Alfred is for the text expansion. So I'll be able to type, say, a text snippet. Now, you can do that natively on macOS, but it's not as powerful because with, for example, Alfred or Smile on my Mac's text expander, was it Smile Software now, I think we're called? I don't think we're called Smile on my Mac anymore. With those, you can put variables in. And things like that. So there is still the need for, because I use a lot. So for example, if I type BSJJ into a text field, it auto fills mine and Jay's Blue Sky handles. So when I'm doing social media, I just type, you know, or like, for example, if I want to put my Mastodon handle somewhere, I just type MAS James and it will fill that for me. And that is a feature that, yeah, you can do in macOS, but it's not as well built. So I don't know. Jay's like, oh, should I stop using Alfred now? I'm like, no, because the features aren't there yet in Spotlight. Spotlight's very much not great in the current version of macOS. It's okay, right? It does a lot.
Yeah, it says here, Spotlight can now search clipboard history, including items from Universal Clipboard, it says. So
that's really cool.
Okay. Yeah.
That's going to be really good. Yeah. I just like the fact it's going to be able to do more shortcuts are looking even more powerful. The ability to do on-device AI with stuff like, so for example, I could copy our episode title and say, oh, write me a better version of this. I could run a shortcut, just do that for me.
Nice. Yeah.
You know, Riverside does AI show notes. I don't know if you use them much. I like to write my own.
Yeah, I write my own usually. Also, the you know the volume and brightness square that appears on macOS? That's been changed to oblongs, apparently, in the top right-hand corner.
Oh, well, that makes more sense. That does make a lot more sense.
Well, because those volume things, they show up in screenshots.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay,
interesting.
And along with the top of the computer, the menu bar is transparent, and you can do live activities now in your menu bar.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool, because that's come over from iPhone. Yeah,
that's awesome.
That is actually really quite cool. Not sure about the transparent menu bar, but maybe I'm just an old fart who remembers, you know, I remember macOS Tiger with... Oh, by the way, everyone complaining about liquid gas. that might be our episode title, liquid gas. Maybe not. Yeah, no, that's good. No, that is definitely episode title, liquid gas. Aqua in, I think, do you remember when, like, there was brushed metal all over the place in macOS?
Yes.
In Tiger and before. Anybody who tells me that you shouldn't do that, it's like, no, come on, you used to love Tiger. I think it's going to look good. I don't like the Finder icon. Do not like the new Finder icon. I'm sorry. Don't mess with the Finder icon.
I saw
icon.
Someone put a tweet on Twitter yesterday saying they massacred my boy.
Yep. No, I would agree. But there's a lot of people saying they don't like... Actually, there is something else I forgot about the whole liquid gas design language.
You said it again.
Liquid glass. Yeah. Liquid glass. The new design language. We're just going to stop calling it. The new design language. It looks like they are improving the tinting of apps, but we're also going to have this... And I'm not sure... I'm going to try it. The wholly clear mode for all the app icons.
Yeah.
Kind of like the idea of that. And I think they've got a new tool to help you design the icons better. So developers got better tools to actually build those icons. But a lot of people say, well, in macOS, for example, and I'm actually looking down at my dock and I'm actually not seeing many examples of this. I'm trying to think, let me look at...
Do you mean the app icons that don't conform to a certain shape? They sort of look 3D. I think they've got rid of that. I think they have to go inside of a frame.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yes, so they're now going inside a frame. I did see that you can change that back.
Interesting, okay.
So I don't... But I'm just looking at my dot right now and there's very little that doesn't fit inside a frame, actually.
Yeah.
Anymore,
like,
so.
I think like Steam's one that I noticed... is still a one that
circle
that's not in a frame.
Yeah. I think launchpad is going, so that's going to become just apps. I think I might be wrong there.
I read somewhere that launchpad was gone, but it just replaced with spotlight. I'm not sure how true that is, but...
That would make a bit of sense, to be honest with you.
The other thing is that, have you ever changed... I guess you guys don't use iCloud keychain passwords, but sometimes... Like, I don't know, one out of every 10 times you change a password, it doesn't save properly.
Ah.
And then you have to go and change the password again. It now will remember the history of the old passwords and when they were changed.
Oh, that's good.
That's good. Yeah, that's a feature in 1Password that I like.
Yeah.
Oh, is that? Okay. That's a 1Password.
Yeah, but 1Password has password history. I will say, I think I've said this every time we've talked about 1Password versus passwords. If you have a wholly Apple family or group, and you don't need some of the more advanced features, you know, or really like advanced sharing, Apple's passwords is really good right now.
It syncs on Windows as well.
Yes. Yeah.
It works. Yeah. And that's autofill as well on Chrome. So
that's impressive.
Yeah. It's very good. So,
which means it also should, in theory, work on Vivaldi as well, because Vivaldi will, I keep promoting Vivaldi because we had John from Vivaldi on the show. We got asked, so Jay got asked by a vendor. We're trying to solve troubleshooting issue. By the way, golden IT rule, what we found out, Jay's looking like, it's always DNS. Always DNS. Because couldn't load
I was having an issue with a vendor and I was like, oh, it must be DNS.
So yeah, Jay was having issues with analytics loading, and I have to admit, I might have yelled at Jay a little bit because I'm like, so you opened a ticket with our vendor when it turned out it was our pie hole blocking it. She's like, oh yeah. But when we were troubleshooting, we go, why are you using Vivaldi and not Chrome? And Jay had to explain, well, Vivaldi is Chromium. It is a Chrome browser. It's just, but no, I do like that where the design language is heading. I like macOS. I love, as you said, we said earlier, phone apps coming across.
It's a lot of stuff.
And yeah, it's, I think Jay summed this up really well earlier. This is an iterative year. This feels like a snow leopard year rather than a leopard year. I don't know if you'll.
I just saw on Mac Rumors that there's reports that Apple Intelligent Features are kind of coming this spring. So there's more stuff happening in. Yeah, because.
Jay, we're in summer.
No.
Yeah, next year.
Oh, next spring. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So Apple's still working on a lot of the Apple Intelligence features that were promised. So don't think that this is the last that we're going to see. Mark Gurman, who sometimes is right, did say that we might see some Apple Intelligence features shown when they launch the iPhone 17. Oh, well, what if they call it the iPhone 26 now? Imagine
if iPhone 26 Pro Edition.
They've got a history of avoiding the number 9, and that stems from some Asian countries where number 9 is unlucky. They've never released, well, WatchOS 9 was an outlier there, but yeah, we missed out on iPhone 9 and iOS 19. So
that's true. Did we miss out on? No, we didn't. Oh wait, we did. No, we didn't get. Did we get a Series 9 Apple Watch?
Yeah,
we did. Okay.
Yeah, but it's yeah. Before, okay. I don't know when you're planning on finishing, but there's a little bit of an update to Apple TV. So the first is the Apple TV HD from 2015 is getting this update, which is insane. What? Yep.
Wow. Okay, Jay has this. Jay has this.
Won't get all the advanced features in it. Like it won't get liquid gas and all that, but it's going to get everything else. I'm trying to make this into a Doctor Who Mavity thing where we're just going to.
Oh no!
If you're doing karaoke, you can use your phone, your iPhone as a microphone.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, I mean, look, Alex, I think my next birthday party, I think that might have to be a thing.
I'm busy that day. Sorry.
I mean, I'll be there. So,
yeah, you will. Yeah, that's true.
And what's quite nice is for households with multiple people that use Apple TV. Currently, it will log in to the default one that last used, but now it will ask you which one you'll log into, much like how Netflix does, I guess. So that's quite cool. So you don't accidentally watch something that
someone else's.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, actually, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a really good point.
And if apps support it, they're enhancing their Apple ID sign in, so that way you can synchronize more and more logins. We just have some outliers like Netflix, who's refused to use some of the advanced.
Not surprised.
They're doing something as well, aren't they, for captive Wi-Fi, where if you signed into it on one device,
that was rumored, but it hasn't happened.
Oh, it hasn't actually happened. Oh, okay.
I read that rumor, and there's no logical way that could even work, because if you think about how UniFi works, that MAC address has got to be approved. So how could that's literally impossible. Unless I'm overlooking something.
I don't think, it's a good point because so if you think so, obviously you have a captive portal login, you have to captive portal, you have to log in, it then approves that MAC address. Mm-hmm. So the only way it could do it is by sending, I guess the captive portal would have to support it, but in theory, it would know the MAC address of all your iCloud connecting devices. Do any captive portal support?
But when you join a new Wi-Fi network, the phone comes up with a brand new MAC address for that Wi-Fi network by default.
Unless it pragmatic. Well, no, you're right.
Yeah.
Unless Apple pragmatically say, "Oh, well, but we might." I can't see how it would work.
This wouldn't. Work.
No. Okay.
It's a nice idea that someone had. Just a bit impossible.
Fair enough.
The other one is if you're on the Apple TV, it looks like you'll be able to get a phone call as a notification in while you're watching TV.
Yes.
So you can get a phone call in. So that's quite cool. And if you haven't got a HomePod, you can set an AirPlay speaker as a permanent speaker for the TV.
Oh, so a Sonoff.
Is that, if that's AirPlay?
Sonoff support AirPlay, yeah.
Or Unified Play System, if you've got that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Hey Jay. Our amp supports AirPlay.
Oh, true. So we can make that.
Mm-hmm. I think both of our amps support AirPlay. We've got two, we've got like a multi-zone. We're fancy. Where we had to upgrade one of them because our previous sound system in the retail store side was, to be fair, is a Spotify Soundtrack Your Brand player, which does work really well, but it was connected to computer speakers. So we actually got a professional audio install done again. We had one already in the event center. I'm a big fan of Apple TV and the AirPlay support, but that also means, I guess you wouldn't do this. If you had a home theater receiver, you would just do that over HDMI. You wouldn't do AirPlay.
If you had a theater receiver that supported CEC, then yes, I think.
Is that
ARC?
ARC, that's the one. I see it.
Audio return channel. Yeah. Enhanced ARC, yeah.
I think that's the one. HDMI CEC is for turning the device on, isn't it? Yeah.
That's right. Which is great, by the way, because when I power off so I can tell my HomePods to turn on and off my TV, and because of CEC, it will power up the Apple TV and my TV.
Yeah, that's quite cool. Yeah.
Mm. I was going to say, I've been having a lot of weird issues recently. Jay and I were really frustrated. My HomePods just keep not connecting to my Apple TV, and I think I found out why. Apple say, make sure your HomePods are on a 5 gigahertz network. I'm like, they are not. They are on my IoT network, which I have enabled that IoT enhanced connectivity for in Unify, which means it's a 2.4 gigahertz only. I am really contemplating moving my HomePods back to my main network.
I keep all the Apple stuff on one VLAN because I trust them.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah. So
I guess you could put it, if you put it all on one VLAN on a 5 gigahertz, I just need to create a new IoT 5 gigahertz, I guess, or something like that.
If you wanted to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I might move them back to a main network. We'll see. Yeah. I trust Apple more than, say, some random team. I don't buy Temu home devices, by the way, but I do trust them more.
Most trusted devices in the network. So,
what your HomePods,
Apple TVs and HomePods, for HomeKit purposes, yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yep.
Oh, one of the things that people, I wanted to tell this story because Apple Intelligence obviously has a lot of negative feedback, particularly around notifications. Somebody's like, they had to turn it off for news, if you remember.
Yep.
Well, I had a good one, which I think I've turned off notifications for this point now, but the Unify app. Now, this would only apply if you're a nerd like me who manages, I think I've got four different consoles. Alex has probably got a lot more in his Unify app. Maybe not, actually.
I've got 17.
Got 17?
Yeah.
Okay. So, now, those will have various states of configuration and different WAN setups like mine does. So my Unified Cloud Gateway Ultra up there, I do have it so that I can tether my phone by Ethernet. So that acts as WAN too. Well, what had happened is I got a summarized notification that said WAN 2 backup. And then it named another console, which actually turns out to be a console at Jay's house, so Jay's parents, and said, and has been updated. The summarized notification made it look like WAN 2 on that console had come back up. I'm like, it doesn't have a WAN 2 anymore. It did for a short period, but I'm like, that's not good. And then I reread it, and it's like, it's my console that's WAN 2. So we've still got a lot of work to do on that.
Yep.
And
there are definitely times that summaries have helped and they've been good. I have heard don't ever try to break up somebody over text message because it just says relationship ended. And
– That's, well, well done, Apple. I mean, you've got straight to my point. Yeah. I'll give them that. No, I mean, first of all, don't break up with someone via a text message.
No.
That's just, not that I'm planning to break up with anyone.
That's good.
By the way.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm just for a record, I have no plans to do that. I mean, we're actually, Jay and I are hoping to get married next year. We're actually, like, we're really looking at, because of a mess of the UK visa stuff, trying to get Jay here, like, put full time. We're actually, I think we're going to legitimately, by the way, skip a step by getting married, wait for it, folks, on a cruise ship.
Unfortunately means we won't be able to live stream it, so that's the only downside. No.
I'm not paying for that Wi-Fi package.
No.
No. Unless Alex can smuggle us a Starlink.
Yeah, the marine plan's quite expensive, actually.
It's very expensive.
Yeah.
By the way, is that a unified mobile router I see behind you?
I've got a new background, yeah. That is a unified mobile router. I've been for IKEA, so.
That's a Kallax system, isn't it?
You and I have the same IKEA shelf.
I think you actually do. Look.
Yeah.
And to be fair, okay. This episode of Crosswires is brought to you by IKEA. We have the SCADIS background.
And whatever this one's called,
I think that's a Kallax. Kallax, yeah.
Kallax, yeah.
Kallax, okay.
All right. Hang on. My desks are IKEA.
Yep, mine is as well.
Mine's not. Mine's from an old company called Autonomous. That used to have AI in it. So that's why I bought it, because it would have it.
Did it actually have AI?
Yeah, it did for a little bit. I could tell it.
Okay. Sorry. What?
I could tell it to increase my to stand up or sit down. And it was supposed to, the thing that they promised us is it was supposed to track your Fitbit usage to see if you needed your desk to be in sitting or standing after how long you've been walking. So that stuff never panned out.
I think that wins the award today for stupidest AI use ever.
And this was before the whole AI craze.
Wow. By the way, I am intrigued because Johnny Ive is he working with OpenAI?
Yes.
On a new, yeah?
Yep.
Because him and Lorraine Powell Jobs, obviously Steve's widow, were interviewed because she's invested in his little startup, because I think they were all friends. Yeah. So anyway, look, I think unless there's any, there was no hardware, but I don't think we've had hardware at WWDC for quite a while.
I was hoping for this new HomePod screen thing, but
oh yeah,
alas.
But I can see that coming more with the iPhone launch. I think,
yeah,
it's a home product, but it would have been really cool. Well, no, because we would have had to announce for developers.
There is AirPods Pro 3 in the code, and AirPods Pro 2 are getting studio quality recording, which is quite incredible.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. Ah, yeah. We missed that. We did miss that. So, so AirPods Pro 2 will be able to act to studio quality mics. Now, I genuinely like to try that out because I've tried recording with AirPods, but quality is not great. I've got the Rode wireless micros. I'm not wearing one at the moment. I'm so used to wearing it when I'm with Jay, because we did some live streaming, by the way, with the DJI Osmo mobile gimbal, and then the wireless micros. By the way, oh yeah, actually that's one feature I'd love on iOS. A gimbal API.
Yes.
So for example, the DJI Mimo app, that really has to be running to do all the fancy features.
Right, I see.
The stabilization will still work to an extent, but if you've, because when DJI have chosen not to allow the older DJI, the Osmo mobiles, to stream to anywhere, so I have to go into Twitch, have a hardware level gimbal API. That would be amazing.
That would be quite good, to be fair, yeah.
Or a camera camera accessories API, because that would be nice.
Oh yeah, because then you've got it, like, because then you could have things like MagSafe extra lenses. Yep. Or you know, we should say, by the way, Jay did hint at it, Jay got a new phone while she was here. Jay got a 16 Pro,
which is nice. Very nice. I went from a 13 to a 16, and I can't tell all the differences because it overall, I mean, other than that access to the Apple Intelligence stuff and Dynamic Island, it's hard to see all the differences because that was not as quite of a jump as it was from the 11 to the 13.
No, but you have got that new camera control, which
is nice. I was using that a lot while we were together.
Oh yeah, it was really nice. Photos app got a few bug fixes to make it a bit more usable. We'll see how that works. Another just wish list thing for me in a future iOS version: multiple shared libraries.
Yes.
Because, and I guess maybe we're in a unique situation where we've got, so obviously Jay and I are in a family plan, but I've also got my parents in it. I suppose it's not that unique, but it's probably not what Apple designed the family plan for, which is fair enough. But I'd like to be able to have a shared album that is just me and Jay, and then one that's just me and my parents, and then one that's me, Jay, and my parents.
Yeah, I'm sure that's something they'll work on. These sort of things take a little while sometimes, but yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So I think with all that, I think we've covered everything. We have still taken a little bit less time in the keynote, I think, just about. Any final thoughts from yourself, Alex, to wrap this whole thing up?
Really like the design from what I've seen online. I will leave my judgment to using up my phone and more than my devices. I am quite now wanting a bigger iPad because my iPad's about 10.5 inch from 2017. So it doesn't support any of the new features at all.
No.
But that leaves me quite intrigued because it would be quite nice to have an iPad that could do all these new features. But I'm quite impressed. It's quite good, to be fair. So
on that subject, so we actually picked up, Jay, well, we didn't, the store did. We picked up two of the new 11th gen iPads.
Oh, they're giving them. Okay. Yeah, they're good.
They're giving them. Well, we haven't powered them on yet because we're waiting to get our Apple Business Management stuff set up for MDM through Ninja One.
Okay.
But hardware-wise...
Yeah.
What do you think, Jay? I mean, you've handled them.
They're very nice. And, like, they're not heavy, which is nice. And they're not quite as small as the Mini because we look at the Mini, but they're also not as expensive as the Mini is.
Which is a very ridiculous thing, but the Mini costs more than the... base model iPad.
Yeah, I got the Didn't Mini. I love it.
Yeah,
I love the Mini. It's really cool. It is a bit. I got mine with a built-in SIM, so it's nice. Really useful. But it is quite expensive. So,
well, I remember the iPad Mini used to be the cheapest iPad.
Yep,
and obviously that's all changed. But just because all these new multitasking features are going to come to all the iPads, I'd still say though, probably for me, if I was buying a new iPad right now, it would be M3. Is it M2 or M3 iPad Air at the moment? I think
three.
M3.
Yep. I think so.
I think you're right. I really would be tempted by one of those right now.
Yeah, because I'm on a Pro and I'm thinking about my next one will be an Air.
Yeah, you're on the 12.9 inch Pro. I think one before the M series, right?
Which thankfully can last for another year.
Oh, absolutely. I can see it lasting probably another year after that, to be fair, if they don't do any. Anyway, we'll see. All right. Alex, thank you. Jay, final thoughts from yourself?
Really good updates. I want to see how a lot of these things are in practice, like Spotlight. I want to see how Liquid Glass is in use. Still making me wish for a Vision OS device.
You want a Vision Pro. Yeah, I get it.
Or
I get
just it. Give me like glasses. Like Specsavers had come out with new Vision OS glasses.
I want Vision. Okay, now you're making me want a Vision OS contact lens.
Oh, that would be amazing. Well,
I only recently tried Vision Pro the other week. So
The
first time. It was really cool.
It is cool.
Really blown away. Yeah.
Because which demos did you do? You did the immersive ones, I mean. The
one where you're walking a tightrope.
Oh, that one is so scary.
And like the sport one, I think, as well. And the... what was the other one? I can't remember. But I don't think I've been that excited about like using a piece of technology for a very long time. And it was really cool.
What I can envision is lying in my bed, just looking up at my Mac and using the Mac virtually.
I did a Vision Pro demo, but unfortunately, because I've got a rigid permanent contact lens, it won't work. And won't work properly. And credit to Apple, this is the time we met Tim. So we'd actually gone in to do a Vision Pro demo. And instead of there's a concert going on tonight, you know, stick around while we've got a late train. We did still make our train back, which was good. Anyway, they tried to, I'd actually, because we'd been traveling, I had my actual glasses with me because these are just reading glasses, right? These are just, but my actual normal glasses I had, they tried to scan a prescription in my glasses. And I think the technical term that came back from the scanner was, what the F of O's? Because my script is so powerful and complex that I think it didn't like it. So,
got you.
But I still got to try it. They actually did everything they could to make it work for me. So yeah,
it's incredible.
Yeah.
It was really, really powerful. All right. Well, Alex, obviously everyone knows where they can find us, but Alex, where can people find your fantastic content?
So you can find my website, theinterface.uk. At theinterface.uk. There's car news and different bits and pieces on there. And I've got a few podcasts, one about Ubiquiti called UI Chat that I did with my friend Evan, and then also Charging Status, all about EVs, which I did with my friend Jim, and car reviews on YouTube as well. So yeah, all good fun.
Very, very good fun. Highly recommend UI Chat and Charging Status.
Thanks.
Really, really good shows. I think, honestly, I've said this before, between you guys, Cody, and Tom Lawrence, I get a lot of my network news and stuff and things from there.
My condolences.
Yes. No, it's always good fun. All right. You can find our... I was going to say you can find more about us at crosswise.net, but the site's down right now. As I recall this, we our WordPress site has gone majorly. It's just died. So I'm in the process of trying to migrate us to Webflow. The challenge I'm having is where I need to build a URL shortener because we need one because Webflow has a limit. Anyway, yeah, podcast.crosswise.net is where you can find all the podcast episodes. Twitch.tv/crosswise live for our live streams and youtube.com/@crosswiseyt for the YouTube until I get everything back up and running. Believe me, I'm working on it. I have officially declared my hatred for WordPress at this point. I mean, you migrated, Alex migrated to Webflow as well, yep. I believe. Yep. So, you know, it will save us server maintenance, thankfully, which would be nice. But we will have that back up. We will be live streaming again soon. Obviously, I've got to show you all how gorgeous Tears of the Kingdom looks on the Switch 2 edition. It is... I sent Jay a screenshot. Jealous. Bear in mind, this is taken from... Well, taken on my phone. I took a literal screenshot. Wow. Just wow. And Mario Kart World is so much fun, so we'll definitely be playing all that. We're going to do a new, me and Jay are going to do a new co-op series with Satisfactory, which we're really excited about. Alex, it might sound really boring. It's a factory building game.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Like automation. It's meant to be good. It's like you're on an alien planet, so it's all future tech. And then we've got some really cool episodes in the bank. We will be releasing them. We'll be back again soon. Make sure you follow. Hang on, I'm gonna let the outro do everything because. Oh, hang on. Well, the link's still working, Jay.
They should.
Okay.
Cross fingers.
We have a Discord. If you're not sure how to get to it, ping one of us on social media. Because those links are working. I've tried to fix a WordPress site. Honestly, it's just ridiculous. Uh-huh. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Maybe
thank
our WordPress Alex. Site needs some liquid gas.
Oh, I'll torch the thing with liquid gas if I need to. And on that bombshell, it is time to end. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. Thanks for listening to this episode of Crosswires. We hope you've enjoyed our discussion and we'd love to hear your thoughts. So please drop us a note over to podcast@crosswires.net. Why not come and join our Discord community over at crosswires.net/Discord. We've got lots of text channels, we've even got voice channels, and we've got forum posts for every episode that we put out there. If you're a Mastodon, you can also follow us either by heading over to wires.social or just follow crossed at wires.social.
If you'd like to check out more of our content, head on over to crossedwires.net/YouTube for all our videos, and keep an eye on our Twitch channel at crossedwires.net/live for our upcoming streams.
If you like what you heard, please do drop a review in your podcast directory of choice. It really does help spread the word about the show.
And of course, if you can spare even the smallest amount of financial support, we'd be incredibly grateful. And you can support us at ko-fi.com/crossedwires. That is ko-fi.com/crossedwires.
Until next time, thanks for listening.